right, Matthew chapter Amen. 10. That's our text. Matthew chapter 10. Let's start reading here from verse, or Matthew chapter 11, my bad. Matthew chapter 11, verse 13, all the way down to verse 19. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you receive it, this is Elias, which was to come. He said, he that hath ears, let him hear.
I got to record this.
But whereunto shall I like this generation is like unto just the children sitting in markets and calling to their fellows.
I need this.
Saying, we have pinned unto you, you have not desired with a mourn unto you. You have not lamented, for John came here eating or drinking. They had the devil, for the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. I'm going to go ahead and pray. Lord, I pray you bless the service. Give me utterance to speak. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Our Jesus,
a man,
was accused of being a friend of sinners, and he is. I'm glad he is. I'm glad he's my friend and your friend. He's willing to eat with us, willing to drink with us, and willing to sit with us. he is a friend of sinners. And the religious people, the Pharisees, they didn't like that he ate with publicans. He ate with outcasts and those who were rejected by the religious side. Now listen, when the Bible talks about the world hating you, it ain't talking about the whole world. Now, see, religion will say, oh, you know, the heathens are going to hate you. The pagans are going to hate you. During Jesus' time, who hated Jesus? Was it the whole world? It was religious world. The world says, you should know you pass from death unto life. The world hates you. And that world is the religious world. They're going to hate you, just like they hated Jesus. Why? Because he was a friend of sinners. I have a simple message today. A simple message. It won't be long. I promise. Now, we're playing VR chat here, and you know, we enjoy this game. I enjoy this game very much. If you ever, you know, meet somebody and you love them, you want to be their friend, you know, you make the first move most of the time, right? You make the first move. You add them and help them, they'll accept it. Now, that's what Jesus did. I have 3 points today. Before you ever looked for him, he came looking for you. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the ultimate love. Amen. Title of my sermon, since we're in VR chat, is I do a VR chat sermon that is an added friend forever accepted, a friend request from our Lord. Now, our Lord loves you, and he loves me, and he's a friend. he's a friend of sinners, and he's a friend, he's your friend, and he made the first move. He loved you, and he gave himself for you. In Galatians chapter 1, where it says, Jesus gave himself for us to deliver us from this present evil world. Now, he loved you, and he made the first move. He made the first move. God himself is reaching out to you through the cross. He didn't send, you didn't send the request. He did. And he accepted you the moment you believe what he did. And his acceptance is not temporary. See, on VR chat, if you don't talk to someone for long, or you have someone added, you don't talk to them, you don't reach out to them, they just unadd you. Or I mean, maybe you're really good friends with them. They don't do that. But sometimes you meet somebody new, you add them as a friend, and you become friends, you talk, and then everyone, you know, don't talk for a couple months, they add you, and they switch up on you. But see, Jesus, his acceptance for you is forever. It's not temporary. It's not based on what you do or don't do. It's not based on how much you talk to him. He accepts you the moment you receive him. Now, that acceptance is forever. It's forever. You can't lose it. Can't lose it. Even if you don't talk to him, even if you don't pray to him, even if you don't walk with him, you are with him. He says, and Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, that's my first point, is the friend request. God made the first move at the cross. He shed his blood for you. He gave himself as the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. That means me, you, everybody. He died for the sins of the world. Doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. Jesus said, I shed my blood for you. And the most famous verse in the Bible, the most famous verse in the New Testament, John 3:16. Now, think about this. John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell, but most people don't believe it. I mean, you ask another Christian, ask a Christian, your neighbor, and ask them, hey, how does someone get to heaven? Well, you got to turn from your sins, you got to do X, Y, and Z, you got to give your life to Jesus. Now, that's not John 3:16. John 3:16 says very clearly, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth. It didn't say whosoever goes to church. It didn't say whosoever gets baptized, whosoever turns from their sins. It did not say that. It says what? Whosoever believeth. What does the word believe mean? It comes from the word persuaded, convinced. The moment you're convinced what Jesus said at the cross was for you, he gives you everlasting life. Again, the gospel is not repenting of your sins. That's a lie. Straight from religion, straight from Satan's pit. Now, the word repent in the Bible, Again, the word repent is in the Bible. It does not mean turn from sin or stop sinning. The word repent comes from the Greek word metanoia, change of mind. And anytime Jesus was preaching repentance, it has nothing to do with turning from sin. It was a change of mind. He told the Pharisees, the religious people in Luke 13, they need to repent or perish. Change their mind and accept him as the Messiah. For example, Acts 3:19, repent and be converted. It has to do with change of mind. Nothing would do with self-reformation. That's a lie from hell. That would be seeking righteousness from the law. And the Bible says in Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Or at Romans 3:28, therefore we have concluded a person is justified by faith without the deeds of law. Okay, my first point is, he made the first move. He made the first move. My second point is this. You're accepted. You're accepted. It's not pending. Okay? A lot of believers think their standing before God is pending. They think, well, maybe if I'm, you know, maybe he's still deciding I'm worthy. Maybe I got to do something. No, listen. In Ephesians 1:6, it says you are accepted in the beloved. There's no loading screen. There's no delay. There's no review process. The moment you believe what Jesus did, you were fully justified, fully embraced. And that means, I guess, you have to earn it. You're accepted now because of what Jesus did. In Colossians 1:22, it says through his death, he presented you, that's you, holy, unprovable, unblameable in his sight. That means right now, whatever state you're in, whatever condition you're in, you're holy before God. Not because of what you do, because of what Jesus did. This is a gift, not a works. A gift is free. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. Now, I know as a kid, you were lied to. You were told as Christmas, if you're a good boy, and then you get gifts at Christmas. That's not a gift. That's a transaction. Your mom lied to you. Your daddy lied to you. Okay, a gift is free. It's freely given. You don't return. So if God says, all right, listen, I have a gift for you. My son paid with his blood. But I want you to turn from your sins. Is that a gift? No, that is what? A transaction. So is God lying or men lying? Men are lying. It's a free gift. Romans 6:23. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And how do you receive this gift? The moment you believe the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is simple. It's how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again. If you simply believe what Jesus did, you're saved, you're forgiven, you're accepted. Now, it's not pending. Your standing before your creator, before God, is not based on what you do or don't do. It's not based on how much you go to church or how you don't go to church. It's not based on how much you pray or don't pray. It's based on the finished redemptive work of Jesus. What do you think the cross was for? We had a couple of people here. One second. Let me get a drink here. They didn't like me very much. You don't have to like me. I'm going to try to be a nice guy. I try to be reasonable. I try to be calm. But they didn't like me. They liked my church. They said, preacher, I like you adding all these signs in here, these logos, whatever. You know, this is supposed to, listen, supposed to be the house of God. Listen, look at me real quick. The church is not this building. The church is not this building. And pastors are not leaders of the church. Pastor is a spiritual gift, and it has nothing to do with position of authority. Number two, the church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Every single one of you remembers it. Listen, I can add a whole bunch of Satanist symbols in this church and preaching it. It means nothing to God because this is not the church. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Not in this building, not in this remote. It dwells in you. You understand me? It dwells in you. You are the church. Now listen, the point of this church, though, that we started here, the reason we do a traditional style like this, because people are most comfortable with it. But the goal is to point you to the finished work of Jesus. Many Christians live like the cross never happened. They say, well, preacher, we're still, you know, Jesus said to love me, you know, you keep my commandments. Listen, Jesus' earthly ministry wasn't there for you. It was for the circumcision. And the point of his earthly ministry was to raise the standard of the law. He says, I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill it. And he came to fulfill what? The prophets and Psalms concerning him. When he came down here, he was to show the Jews and Gentiles that you cannot keep the law. The purpose of God's law wasn't given to save you. God's law wasn't given to save you. It wasn't given to be your rule book for your life. In Romans 3:19, it says this, so where the law saith, it said to whom are under law, that every mouth may be stopped in the whole world, become guilty for God. The purpose of God's law was to show our inability to keep it. Listen to me. The law was given to show our inability to keep it. In Galatians 3:24, it says this. It says in Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ. The purpose of God's law was to show you you're a sinner. So the Sermon on the Mount, right? People love the Sermon on the Mount. Guess what's not for you? You think Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, if you hated somebody, you're a murderer within your heart. If you lusted, you commit adultery in your heart. The purpose of the Sermon on the Mount was to raise the standard of the law and to show the people they are guilty. So then what's the good news? The good news is this, that we're justified freely apart from the law. In Galatians chapter 2:16, it says this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even if you believe in Jesus Christ, they might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. So when I get Christians who come in here, they say, well, preacher, you know, Leviticus 20:13 or Leviticus 18:22, when they quote those verses about homosexuality, the purpose of those verses was to show mankind they can't keep it, to show their inability to keep it. That shows you people were practicing homosexuality throughout the Old Testament. It was to show people they were guilty before God and the need of a Savior. And Jesus came down and he was a friend of sinners. He was a friend of sinners and he loved you. And he gave himself for you. And by faith in him, you're justified, you're sanctified, and you're washed. Now, so, my point one, he made the first move. He went to the cross. My point two, the moment you believe in him, you are accepted. Accepted in what? In the beloved. You lack nothing. You lack nothing now. It's not pending. There's no process. There's no delay. You are accepted. No ifs and no buts. Just like your dad will always be your dad, right? Now, I don't know. You guys have a good relationship with your dad. I don't know. But he will always be your dad. Same thing with God. He's now your father. He will always be your father. Even if you want nothing to do with him. Even if you curse him out and do all these, say all these mean things about him. He will always be your father spiritually. He says, if we believe not, he abideth faithful. When we stop believing, he abides faithful. Think about that. The moment you believe the gospel, and let's say you believe the gospel for 5 days, but then you stop believing the next day, you're still saved because of what Jesus did. You're accepted now. It's not dependent. It's not a process. You're accepted now because of what Christ did. My third point, and that is eternal connection. Listen, Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That means there's no unfriend button with him. Okay, you may stumble. You may not talk to him. You may not want nothing to do with him, but you will never be disconnected. You will never be disconnected. Christ will never delete you as a friend. You are eternally connected and sealed with his spirit. He will never leave you. My point one, he made the first move. Point two, you're accepted. Point three, you're eternal secured in him. You lack nothing. You lack nothing. Hey, Biff, can you ban this guy? Sorry, this is this. Some guy put a sticker here. Did you ban him? Some Nazi symbol.
Can't see the sticker. I heard the noise.
So it was those.
Some guy just left. He was right here on the corner saying "Hail Satan," and I don't know what. So I don't know if it was that guy over there.
I don't see him in the lobby anymore. Yeah. He's gone. All right. Sorry about that, guys.
No Nazis in the church.
Nothing nice to say. Don't say it at all. If you don't like my message, just leave. Don't come in here and troll and be a little devil. I'm being respectful. I'm being nice. If you don't like my message, you can leave. It's VR chat. But point one, he made the first move. Point two, you're accepted. And point three, that acceptance is eternal. Now, just in VR chat, you have friends, and your friends love you, and you know, sometimes you get in a fight, and they unfriend you, but Jesus would never do that. No, he would never do that. You are accepted. You are accepted forever. He says in John 3:18, he that believeth is not condemned. You're not condemned. You've been passed from death unto life the moment you believe. There's no ifs and buts. Romans chapter 4, verse 7 says, blessed are they whose and wicked deeds forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed the man who will not impute sin. Your sins are forgiven. You're righteous. You're complete because of what Jesus did. You are accepted. Now, in Matthew, he says, they said, the religious people said, listen, Jesus is a friend of sinners. He ate with publicans. He ate with prostitutes. He ate with people like you and me. He sat with us. He ate with us. Why? Because he loved you. He loved you. And he was a friend. That song we just played, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. And yes, we do. We have a good friend. A good friend. John 13 says, I don't call you my servants. He says, I don't call you my servant. My servants. I called you my friend. In Galatians chapter 4, it says, we're no longer servants. We're no longer slaves. But sons, if we're sons, listen to me. Religion wants to make you a slave. Religion says, come to church and get right with God. Religion says, give your life to Jesus. Come to church and try to change your life. They get you on a self-improvement program, which is straight from the devil's hell. You think you can improve yourself? You think you can fix your flesh? Romans 7:18, for I know that's in me, as in my flesh dwells no good thing. You think you can justify yourself before God based on what you do? You think your life can buy you peace when Christ gave his life for you? And I think it's an insult to the cross of Christ. to say to give your life to Jesus for salvation. It's wicked. It's not biblical. Jesus said, I gave myself for you. I gave myself for you as a ransom. I died for you. And he says, I justify all those who believe in me. God declares you righteous the moment you believe in him. Now, he's your friend. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Even if you don't talk to him, even if you don't want nothing to do with him, you will never be unadded. You will never be unfriended. You're eternally secured in him. You lack nothing now. As a believer, the moment you believe, you're now accepted in Christ. You lack nothing. You're righteous. You're holy. You're loved. You're accepted. And the life that we live now down in the flesh after we're saved, as Paul says in Galatians 2:20, is by faith. Now, many Christians think the Christian life is about being a better person. They say, well, no, it's about loving your neighbor, trying to be... No, listen, you're forgetting the whole point here, is that you're not a good person. I had a conversation with some guy, and he didn't like my preaching. He said, well, I'm trying to be a good person. He's an atheist. And I tell you what, we know we're falling apart because our whole society is religious. Even atheists, they think they're more moral than God. They're more moral than each other. It's based in self-righteousness. Paul says, and the Bible says, Romans 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. There's none good, no, not one. Our throats are open graves. We live in a religious society. It's condemned. You make one mistake, you're done. Ruined. That's it. That's the culture we live in, the society we live in. There's none good. But my point is this. You were crucified with Christ. You know what that means? In Galatians 5:4, Christ took your flesh. He crucified it, all its virtues, afflictions, and sins, and lusts at the cross. He has judged it. He expects nothing from it. There's no demand on it. He took care of it. He paid the price. So you, where you are now, can live freely, to be accepted freely by what he did. A free gift. Accept it. His friend request is free. You don't have to always, and he's talking about his friend request. You don't have to talk to him. You don't have to always, you don't have to show up and play this fake political love. The moment you received him, you are accepted forever. Each time there's no unadded, there's no block button for him. You are always accepted. Always. Your sins have been forgiven. You've been washed. You've been sanctified. You have eternal life because of what Jesus did. Now, people in VR chat, listen. Listen to me. I'm coming for you. I want you to know about God's love. I want you to know about his freedom he offers you. I want you to know the liberty you have in Christ. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I want to show you your freedom from the law. I want you to get looking off your condition and onto the cross. I want you to show you the lies of religion. I want to show you the freedom that Jesus offers. I'm coming for you. We're just getting started. His friend request is free. You're accepted the moment you receive it forever. No ifs, no buts. There's no unadded but. Number three, it's eternal. You're eternal connected with him. And in 1 Corinthians 1, it says you're one spirit with the Lord. There's no, listen to me. There's no such thing as a follower of Jesus anymore. Matter of fact, and in the book of Acts, you no longer see the word disciple. It's gone. You can't follow Jesus anymore. Number one, he's physically not here. And number two, you don't need to follow him. Because the moment you believe, you receive him. Christ comes into you. His spirit dwells in you. You don't need to, listen, a lot of you, I'm not trying to be mean, a lot of you based your standing before God on your mystical legalism. You say, what is that? Mystical because you depend on your feelings, your inward sensations or experiences, and you base, it's legalism because you turn that into a performance-based righteousness. You're seeking to be justified by your feelings. Right? You think, well, I must, you know, I don't feel close to God, so I'm not praying enough, I'm not reading my Bible enough. No, listen to me. Your feelings don't determine truth. You're close to God now because you believe the gospel. He dwells in you. There's no such thing as getting more closer to God. I'm just as close you can get. You're just as close you can get. Because whosoever believeth in him shall never die. Whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. A fountain of living waters coming out of your flowing belly. Amen. The moment you believe. So there's no such thing as getting close to God. You are close to God just as you are now. Because of what Jesus did. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, you want to follow along. Sorry now. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Now listen to me. Listen to me. You're loved. I could look at you and I say, God loves you. See, religious people say that all the time. Well, preacher, I hear that all the time. But they don't have real love for you. They hate you. They've gotten, Paul says, Jude says, they're of Cain. See, Cain in the Bible, Cain pictures people who approach God based off their works. And Cain hated Abel. Remember that story in Genesis 4, Cain and Abel? You know why Cain hated Abel? Because Abel was a sinner, but yet Abel was declared righteous before God because Abel placed his faith in Christ. See, these religious folks, whether there's a lot of them in VR chat, I've been coming across them, they hate you. They're of Cain. They want to slew you. They want you to have no rest. They want you to have no peace. They want you to feel condemned that God hates you and lied to you. So they tell you a whole bunch of lies and you fall for it. It's not your fault. It's just your flesh is like that by nature. But that's why the message of grace offends people, because you get no glory. Christ, it's no longer you, but Christ. He did it. He paid for you. He bought you with his blood. He loves you. It's freely given to you. But religion wants you to work for it. I'm going to tell you, it's a free gift. Romans 4:5. Read it for yourself. Read Romans. Listen, I'll give you a little homework tonight. Read Romans chapter 4 tonight. Read it. And I'll read verse 5 for you right now. This one verse destroys religion. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him, that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Romans 4:5. That verse destroys every performance-based righteousness that's taught by religion. Read Galatians, 6 chapters. You'll see that you're dead to the law. Listen. Now, before the cross, listen, ready? Look at me. Okay. What is it? This is my right hand. This is my left hand, okay? You see my right hand? How you doing? My right hand? This is my left hand. Okay. Then we're going to pretend. My left hand is before the cross. You look at me now. Look at me now. My left hand is before the cross. Your sins were imputed to you. You were under law, bondage, guilt, and shame. There was no hope. Nobody could keep the law. So what did Jesus do? He came down, born of a woman under the law, to destroy the system from within. And he went to the cross. Now at the cross, the Bible says he abolished the law. He abolished the law. Why? Because he fulfilled it. It was done. And he says in John 19, it is finished. My right hand, this side of the cross. Guess what? This side of the cross. Your sins are no longer imputed to you. You've been made righteous by God. You're dead to the law. You're now in Christ by faith. The law over here before the cross is done away with. Read 2 Corinthians 3. You're done. You're dead to the law. You're now in Christ by faith, complete, lacking nothing. There is no demand on you. Now, ain't this a loving friend? A friend who loves you? A friend who cares for you? This friend who loves you. He says, I accept you. Even when you don't talk to him, he says, I will never unadd you. I'll never leave you. I'll never block you. I'll never defriend you. You are mine. Matter of fact, in Hebrews 11, it says this, that the Lord is not ashamed to call his brothers. In Hebrews, it says the Lord is not ashamed to call his brothers. Amen. He says, I'm not ashamed to call them brethren. Amen. He's not ashamed to call you brothers. Well, preacher, you understand, I've done this, I've done that, I did this. Listen. The moment you believe that Christ died and rose again, your sins are gone. Past, present, and future. Now, the world down here, they still see your sins. And they'll say things to you, and they'll call you a dirty sinner and call you mean names and say this. But you can say, I'm washed, I'm clean. God says, I don't see your sins anymore. Stop condemning yourself about them. They went to the cross. Now there's natural consequence down in this lifetime. I'm not denying that, right? If I'm just a mean guy all the time, that's in real relationships, friendships, right? But my eternal acceptance in Christ is already, I'm already accepted in Christ. That can never change, right? This line can never change. You're accepted no matter what. Now, down here, there's natural consequence, but you're still accepted no matter what happens. Because what? The cross of Christ. When you believe that message, that Christ died and rose again, something spiritual happens. This is not a feeling. This is not a sensation. This is no feeling. Sometimes you might feel nothing, but you are regenerated, born again. The Spirit of God dwells in you. You're forgiven of all your sins. God no longer sees you in your sins. Hebrews 10:17. And their sins and their wickedness will I remember no more. And where the offering of this is, there's no more remission of sins. Why? Because Christ did the complete sacrifice once and for all. So if you go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of truth, there's no more sacrifice for sins. Why? Because Jesus made a sacrifice. See, a lot of false teachers will twist that verse. Oh, you can lose your salvation. No, you can't. What's the context? Read verse 10. He's talking about you are perfected now. You're complete now. The context of Hebrews 10 was that there were people getting tempted to go back to the law, animal sacrifices, for the forgiveness of sins. And Paul, who wrote to them, said, listen, no, hold on. Christ made a complete sacrifice, Hebrews 10:12. You've been perfected forever by faith in him. That's Hebrews 10:10. He said, listen, in verse 17, your sins are gone. And verse 18, you're forgiven. There's no more offering. And so when you get to verse 26, when it says, if you sin willfully or receive the knowledge of the truth, there's no more sacrifice of sins. Why? Because Jesus made the complete sacrifice. You understand that? It's done. There's no more sacrifices. Your feelings cannot buy you peace with God. The blood did. The blood did. We're almost done. How long have we been going for? I've been going for about, all right, 26 minutes. Short summary day on this. Recap. Point one. The friend request, God made the first move. Point two, you receive him by faith. You're accepted forever. Point three, that acceptance is eternal. You have an eternal connection with God. There's no remove button. There's no block button. There's no unbad button with him. Once you're accepted, you're always accepted. In John chapter 10, it says this, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You understand that? That means this, you are in his hand. Even you can't pluck yourself out. I want nothing to do with you anymore. Jesus, I stopped believing in you. Well, guess what? You're still in his hand. Why? Because at one moment in your life, you did believe in him. And he's going to honor that. You're in his hand. You're not stronger than God. When he says this, when you're faithless, when you stop believing, when you're faithless, he is still faithful to what? His promises. And what was his promise in the Gospel of John? Whosoever believeth shall never die. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. You will never go to hell, my friend, because of what Jesus did. You've been accepted now by faith. That is it. So, this is the friend request. It's freely given. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, trans, lesbian, a dope addict, a drunk addict, a fornicator, the next Jeffrey Dahmer, the next Hitler. It doesn't matter. We're all sinners in God's eyes, all deserving hell. But the good news is that Christ paid our sin debt. So you can be made the righteousness of Christ, of God, right now. All you have to do, all we can do. The Bible says, our good works are filthy rags. If going to heaven was based on how good we are, we'd all be going to hell. Right? That's why repenting of your sins is not biblical. The word repent's biblical. Again, the word repent's biblical, but has nothing to do with turning from sin. It's a change of mind. They add turning from sin. It's not there in the original text. Read the King James Bible. It just says repent. Most translations just says repent. And what's the meaning of repent? A change of mind. The only translation that I know of that corrupts it is the New Living Translation. They add turn from sin, but that's not what the word means. It means a change of mind, right? So we have 5,200 manuscripts that says repent, change your mind. But then we have like 45 manuscripts that says one manuscript says a whole other text is completely different. But the word repent means a change of mind. Jesus said, repent or perish, change your mind. Listen. You have to change your mind about this right now. Number one, if you are an unbelief today, change your mind from unbelief to belief. There you go, you repented. Okay, well maybe this. Maybe you do believe in Jesus, but you're trusting in yourself. You're trusting in what you do. Change your mind about that. Say, you know what? I'm no longer going to trust what I do. I'm going to trust what Jesus did. And guess what? You repented. And you'll never go to hell. You'll never perish. Put with John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes shall never perish. So if you believe what Jesus did, he's your promise. I'll give you all the promise right now in a nutshell. You'll never go to hell. Jesus, you'll never go to hell. You'll never perish. Number two, your sins are forgiven. Past sins, present sins, future sins, all forgiven. So you don't need to confess to get forgiveness. The moment you believe, you're forgiven. Number three, you're accepted in the beloved. Meaning, in God's eyes, you're accepted. That can't change no matter what. Your feelings, Your sins, your condition, your physical condition cannot change your acceptance. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings the moment you believe. So, God's friend requests. It's beautiful, isn't it? He's a friend of sinners. He's your friend. And if you say, well, preacher, I don't believe. Well, he wants to be your friend. And all you have to do, and all we can do, is simply believe in him. In Acts 16, verse 30, he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? How do I go to heaven, preacher? What must I do? They asked Paul. And he says this in verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That's all it takes. Oh, that's too easy. Yep, it's the narrow way, brother. Because how many Christians do you know are trusting in their works? Think about it. There's no difference between Catholics and Protestants. Half of them are trusting in their deeds. And many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, I prophesied. I cast out devils. I done many wonderful works. Were those people, did they believe on Jesus? No. They were trusting what? Themselves, their deeds, their works. The Lord says, only he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so what is that then, preacher? What's the will of the Father? John 6:40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Hey, if you have not done the will of the Father today, do it today. Believe on the Son. Why, preacher, I believed. Then you're saved. That's it. There's no ifs and buts. Even if you die tonight in a car accident, you go to heaven because you believe on Jesus. Even if you stop believing today, you'll go to heaven still. Because on this day or someday in the past, you believed what Christ did. And he says this, if we believe not, he abides faithful. What a wonderful friend of Jesus. Amen. A wonderful friend. A friend of sinners. A friend to love. He's your friend. He's my friend. He'll never unadd you. He'll never unblock you. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for this gathering. Thank you for the people here, Lord. All the new people here, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, that there's anyone in this room tonight, Lord, who are doubting their salvation, questioning their salvation, Lord. I pray remind them, Lord, that if they believe in you, they're saved. There's no ifs and buts. They have eternal life. No matter how they feel, Lord, our feelings change, Lord. You made us the righteous of God in Christ the moment we believe. We're justified. We're sanctified. We're washed. We're complete, lacking nothing. Thank you, Lord, that we're one spirit with you and that we're close as you now. Even if our condition feels weird or off, our position before you is secure no matter what. Lord, I pray you bless these people. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Church dismissed for fellowship. You can hang out. You can leave. If any questions, you can talk to me.